My public health career started with tobacco control in Australia, and as many of us here in public health, we generally pick up heroes during the process of our career that we'd like to emulate, or at least follow their model. And Judith Mackay, Dr. Judith Mackay in Hong Kong, is a fabulous tobacco control advocate. She's also the founder and editor of the International Health Map. It's a big book of health issues, and she's able to capture the data and able to put into simple language the priorities. And one of her mantras, which I tend to live by, and I think it prefaces this presentation on vaccines, is that health improves as health's a priority and the focus is on prevention rather than cure. With vaccines as one of the public's greatest health achievements in prevention, our recent economic analysis indicated that for each of the US birth cohorts through to the age of six, we're protecting against 13 diseases. And with the current childhood immunisation process that we have in place, the schedule is actually preventing approximately 42,000 deaths and 20 million cases of diseases each year. So given this significance of vaccines to public health, how are the recent changes of the technology improvements in CDC's vaccine supply chain supporting the ordering and the distribution of vaccines helped? I'm going to share some of these aspects of the initiative known as VTRAX, and certainly take some questions at the end of the whole process. The CDC's VFC program was created by omnibus regulation legislation in 1993 as an entitlement program that was to be required as part of each state's Medicaid plan. And it was officially implemented and put into operation in October of 94. So it's a federally funded program, and it provides vaccines at no cost to children who might not otherwise be vaccinated because of the inability to pay. CDC buys the vaccines at discount. We distribute them at no charge to private physicians' offices and public health clinics registered as VFC providers. And so children who are eligible are entitled to receive pediatric vaccines that are recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunisation Practices, and it helps ensure that all children have a better ability of getting their recommended vaccinations on schedule. So children through to the age of 18 who meet at least one of the following criteria are eligible to receive these vaccines. Those that are Medicaid eligible, American Indian or Alaska Natives, uninsured or underinsured. There are 62 unique vaccine products distributed through the VFC program each year, and the VFC provides vaccines to protect the babies, the young children and adolescents against 16 diseases, including measles and rubella, pertussis and varicella and hepatitis B. There's approximately 85 million doses are distributed annually through this program. And so with such a high volume of orders and doses being processed, you can understand how essential it is to provide a vaccine tracking system that does due diligence to connecting all the components of the system from ordering to shipment and delivery to ensure that providers are able to give vaccines to children where and when they need it. So we operate one of the largest vaccine supply chains in the United States in support of this particular program at the CDC. The supply chains connect 64 grantees or immunisation programs in the various health departments of the states and territories. There are over 47,000 provider sites, six vaccine manufacturers and one distributor with two distribution locations. And the tracking system is made to be secure. It's an information technology system that integrates the publicly funded vaccines from purchasing and ordering to the distribution to grantees and healthcare providers. VTRAX is the larger effort to modernise and transform CDC's existing vaccine delivery system, which was known or is still known as VIMVIP for an acronym. It's a web-based centralised vaccine tracking system, and VTRAX's scope includes from an order entry to order management to forecasting of use, as well as budgeting as well as contract management with the distributors and manufacturers. So why did we develop VTRAX? Well, there was obviously a need to upgrade the antiquated vaccine management legacy systems that dated back to 1993. That included the vaccine management system known as VACMAN, a national immunization program tracking system known as NIPVAC, and a vaccine ordering and forecasting application called VOFA. And those three systems have now been replaced by one. And we're finding that VTRAX is integral to the future requirements for effectively managing and distributing the vaccines around the United States. So in June of next year, we will have fully deployed VTRAX as a IT infrastructure with all 100,000 end users located at 47,000 participating provider sites. Up to date, 3 million vaccine orders have been processed through VTRAX, and that's since December of 2010 when we went live. A high volume of these transactions or messages flow through our electronic data interchange hub known as EDI on a daily basis. Overall, we've had 10 million inbound and outbound transactions that have either been sent or received since VTRAX went live in December 2010. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later on. At least 98.9% of all orders are shipped within four business days. And VTRAX is currently being deployed to all grantees on a schedule that will complete in June of 2013. So, with regards to the previous system that we're substituting for now, the old system included a variable ordering system. It used faxes, it used the phone, it used mail, and it used file transfers. It focused on low technology, which was very manual and very labour, paper-based intensive. It required data to be processed by multiple systems, and that infrastructure of those three acronyms I shared with you earlier was typical of that. It provided less visibility into what inventory was actually out there, and it resulted therefore in a lower accountability by providers to make sure that their inventory was not only sufficient but also viable. It hadn't died on the shelf, so to speak. So the new process is an attempt to modernize the old process by basically providing improved visibility into the system of ordering and shipment. There's fewer manual processes involved. There's online ordering, which allows for a standardization and automation with providers ordering directly. It's very much like an Amazon.com system for providers. It's a single integrated system that supports end-to-end vaccine management. So there's one centralized electronically managed inventory. There's one centralized funding system for vaccine purchases, there's one supply chain and there's two distribution locations to support the flow of vaccine. This represents a change from the 64 varied approaches that were in existence up until recently. As far as our stakeholders are concerned, and we consider CDC as one of those stakeholders, it's allowed us increased visibility and monitoring of that national vaccine inventory. It allows for an increased safety response. We can track vaccines by lot numbers to specific providers and sites in support of a recall, which you're probably hearing about in the media in recent weeks. In the past, that was information that we had to rely on providers sending us, and sometimes it was by mail. So now we have this information at our fingertips through VTRAX, so there's better visibility and integration with purchasing vaccines, as well as the way in which state vaccine budgets are used and the grantees spend. As far as grantees are concerned, it gives them an increased autonomy to manage their vaccine processes. They're able to follow and implement flexible business rules that allow them to review any provider orders if they don't pass some sort of predetermined by the state criteria. For instance, the number of doses ordered by a particular provider or how many times a provider orders within a specified time period, or more importantly, the type of vaccine that providers are ordering. It's also allowing grantees at the state level to develop and manage their spend plans as well as their vaccine formularies. It gives them real-time inventory visibility into what they have on the shelves, as well as the status of their orders that are expected. It increases the accountability at the locations of providers because they're required to submit their inventory on hand before they actually place an order. And it's also an ability by the grantees of the state departments to upload vaccine orders from their own registry systems into the SpeedTrack system. So for the providers at the end of the chain, it gives them a shopping cart style experience in ordering their vaccines very efficiently. They're able to manage their delivery data online. They can track the vaccines from the moment it's ordered to the moment it's shipped and delivered to their facility. And they're also able to submit online inventory on hand and doses administered, as well as the temperature logs. So the electronic data interchange is the hub that directs the flow of data in the supply chain. And without it, we couldn't efficiently process any of the transactions. It allows us to manage the messaging to and from the vaccine manufacturers and distributor. We use BizTalk as the infrastructure to support the development, the testing, the staging, and the production. We're also able to use the BizTalk for infrastructure to support the recovery in case the system goes down. There are new message types that are allowed now to go through the system on returns or return changes or credit memos, which never before was the case. It allows for an integrated internal control. For instance, we can see which messages have been looked at, which messages haven't been looked at, and we can begin making inquiries about the important ones as to what's up. And as far as reports that show the total number of messages by which person, it helps to know that if messages are coming out from the manufacturers or distributors regarding frozen vaccines and they're not opened by the end users, it can be dangerous and it could be costly as well. So the EDI process begins with the submission of data. It allows all orders to be processed through VTRAX. The EDI functions as this hub. It sends and receives the transaction details to and from other systems in the supply chain. The order requests are sent to the manufacturers, as well as specifically for those frozen vaccines, as well as to the distribution center for the non-direct ship orders, the ones that aren't essential to be delivered immediately. Orders are then shipped to the provider and delivery dates and tracking information is sent back to the VTRAX for reference. CDC places the orders with the vaccine manufacturers to replenish inventory at the distributor so that it'll be used to fulfill whatever orders might be coming. Invoices are sent. The UFMS system, which is a Washington-based system of the federal government, is the system of record that we use. And so when we know that the delivery has been received, we then make sure it gets paid. And we don't have problems that we had to live with the last 10 or so years, where sometimes we'd be paying on vaccines that weren't received. So the demand for EXIS interfaces is that registry system that state health departments have, where they collect a lot of their own data, we weren't sure that they were going to want to use their same system, and we thought perhaps they might want to jump straight into this Amazon.com type system of VTRAX. But first we piloted with some grantees. There were four of them. There were two direct grantees who were going to type their orders directly into the Amazon.com VTRAX system. And then there were two registry pilot grantees. As a result of the pilot, many of the grantees became more aware of the capabilities of the system. And so to date, we have 45 of the 64 grantees who've declared their intent to submit data to VTRAX via their own registry systems. In other words, they're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're going to keep their registry system and they're going to interface with the federal system. Now, before the pilot, the number of grantees that already had or were planning to support the vaccine ordering and tracking system through their registry was very limited. And as a result of the pilots, they've now shared their experiences with the rest of the country. For the grantees who want to use their registry systems, it makes a great deal of sense because it eliminates the need for their providers to learn another system. It also builds on their existing system, which means that they can maintain a single point of access for their providers to place orders as well as to be contacted on orders. There are 32 immunisation programs at the moment in the nation who are receiving federal funding to create their own interfaces between their registry system and VTRAC. So we're facilitating this as much as possible. For providers, it provides them with a inventory on hand. They're able to order vaccines so easily at the office. For grantees, they can approve the orders at leisure. They can generate, upload their data files. They can download shipment data, manage any rejected orders. They can reconcile orders. But more importantly, it gives them the autonomy that they can build their own requirements and controls. And there's no retraining for their providers. It was one of the things we heard loud and clear when we did some stakeholder analysis. They didn't want this learning curve to occur with their providers. But probably for the grantees at the state health departments, it reduced the double data entry that they were always subject to by doing it manually. And it supports their particular program needs that the feds don't need to know about, but they still need to collect at the local level. So besides providing inventory access, sort of visibility, it allows CDC as the federal agency to quickly support allocations of vaccines with limited supply to grantees. So generally speaking, this would be reallocated from a distributor to an identified provider. And this is important in cases of an emergency where there's suddenly a need in a particular part of the country for some vaccines. We can track the patterns of ordering of healthcare providers at the local level so that we can make sure that there's an improved modelling of need for vaccines and use across the nation. And that's also very important for a vaccine shortage or a pandemic. And we can also obtain real-time accurate reporting, which shifts the focus of the public health resources from what had been a low-value data-gathering effort to a high-value decision-making effort. We created a Wordle graph here with some of the qualitative assessments from the grantees and providers who are using the system to date. And you can see that, generally speaking, they consider it, even though it initially when they didn't know it and they hadn't touched it, they now consider it as a breath of fresh air and that it's great and that it's easy and that it's inventory management par excellence and that the training's been extremely helpful and probably more valuable than anything, it's real-time inventory and real-time reports. We've submitted the VTRAC model to the peers in the industry, and we've received some accolades for driving down costs and for improving functionality and for excellence in information technology, and that helps build credibility when you're doing a change management process with any new initiative. I'd be happy to address any questions that you might have on how to do something like this across the nation. Thank you.